All right, good morning, everybody. As Pastor Nick said, I'm John Williams. I'm a member at First Family Church. My family's almost been a member. We've been a member for 4 years. And we love this church. And I'm come here today to give you the good news of Jesus Christ. I know I've seen many of your faces before. And I just want to start off with a word of prayer so that we can get right into the word. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this opportunity to bring your word to these people. I know some of these are your people, but some aren't, Lord. I pray that you would convict these in the sound of my voice of their sin and show them their need for the Savior, Lord. I thank you for this pantry and this outreach ministry to those who are in need, Lord. But the greatest need that they have is to have their souls saved. And we pray that many would hear and believe on Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so there's one thing that always hinders man, and most people in most churches and most pulpits today don't even like to talk about it, and that's sin. When Adam fell in the garden, he took a command from God, a direct command, and he violated that. He told Adam that he could eat of all these trees freely, but if he ate of this one tree, that he would die. And he did eat of that tree. He did eat of that tree, and he brought death into the world. And the Bible has a lot to say about sin, and we must understand the severity of it. Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4 says that sin is lawlessness. So when we understand that Ten Commandments or that God's moral law, we understand that every last one of us in this room has committed sin. There's no way around it. You're born into sin in Adam. And every single moment that you exist, there's a record being kept of all the sins that you commit. A lot of us may not think of that, and that the fact that unforgiven sin has consequences, that in this life, when you perish, you will meet your maker. And unless you have your sins paid for, you will pay for them yourself. That's very bad news, and we're going to get into that today. I want to start off by reading Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water beneath. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed in it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And so I'll stop right there. So we see the severity of the law of God. That when we look at these and we're honest with ourselves, we've broken these. Is there anyone in this room that can say, I've kept the law of God? Anyone? No. There was a man in the Bible who said that he did, after all, the rich young ruler, he told Jesus, "All these I have kept from my youth." He didn't keep them, though. So Jesus revealed to him his heart. He said, "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and go give it to the poor." And he left away, blown away in ruins, in misery, because he didn't want to do that, see? So Jesus was revealing to him his heart, that he had not indeed kept the law of God. He already had violated the first command in and of itself. And many of you here today, some of you think that, "Oh yeah, you know, I'm a really good person. I'm a good guy, or I'm a good girl, you know. I keep the law of God, and you know, God will be satisfied with that." And I think that you must understand, as you listen to this today, God will not be satisfied with what you have done. As a matter of fact, what you have done will bring judgment to you. Okay, you ever heard the statement, "the long arm of the law"? Okay, it will get you. Well, there's no getting away from the arm of God. Okay, no getting away from it. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." The Lord, like I said a moment ago, is keeping a record of every single sin we've ever committed. And they're being written down as a charge against you for the day of judgment. So that means that a lot of you here today are in serious trouble. Very serious trouble. Because you can walk right out of this room, get in your car, drive off, and die. And all those open accounts you have with God, they're going to be settled. There will be no other second chance. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as a second chance. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Amen. That judgment is in a fiery place called hell. And some of you, in the sound of my voice, will ultimately probably spend eternity there. And I pray that's not the case. Because the Bible says that now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. My desire is that you would not burn in hell forever. Okay? Now, the bad news that we just got into is that God has a law, a standard, a perfection. None of you here in this room can meet it. The torment that many face in hell right now is forever. It doesn't end. It was going on yesterday, it was going on last week, it was going on last month, last year, 10 years ago, 10 years from now, unless the Lord comes. And those people are conscious of their torment, and they know why they're there, and they're burning, and it does not stop. Jesus said, "The worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched." So that's some really bad news for many of you here today. Many of you in the sound of my voice think that you're right with God because of something you've done. There's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. Okay? The only thing that will make you right with God is the person and work of Jesus Christ. See, the bad news is that you're a sinner just like me. The good news is that Christ conquered sin in the grave and that Jesus actually saves sinners. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Death is the result of sin that came into the world after Adam chose to sin. And it caused him and all those born in Adam to die. Not just physically, but spiritually. We're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins because of the disobedience of Adam. And we show that we would have disobeyed if we were Adam, because every day we disobey. Okay? A holy and just God must punish disobedience. Yep. That means that he will hold accountable all of those who break his law. Justice. God is committed to justice. Either your justice is satisfied at the cross and your faith in Jesus Christ, or you yourself will spend eternity trying to satisfy justice, and you never will. You never will. In order for your sins to be forgiven, you must repent of your sins. Now, let me explain what repentance means. It's not a self-help. Let me clean myself up so God will look at me as more presentable so I can make myself savable. That's not what repentance is. It's not a self-help program. Repentance is a change of mind. Okay, it's a U-turn. You're going in one direction. You're living a life of lawlessness. You break God's law and you could care less about it. And you say, yeah, but I'm a pretty good guy. Well, you're lying to yourself. See, the law is a mirror to show you who you really are. And if you're honest with yourself, you understand that you're not that person that you think you are. So repentance is agreeing with God and understanding that you are a lawbreaker and God is a law keeper. The law is a reflection of who God is. Okay. And you're going to answer to him. See, and he's holy and righteous and just. That's why when Jesus left, he said he's going to go away for a time and he's going to send the Spirit who will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment to come. See, so when you repent, you understand I'm in trouble because God is holy and I am sinful and God is going to require an account. That means I'm in danger. Yep. So when you understand all of that, you turn and put your hope in the Savior. Repentance is agreeing with God about who you are and who he is and putting your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ. But that takes a change of mind. Because many of you come in here today thinking, yeah, I'll just wipe my hands and clean them and me and God will just have a talk and it'll be all right. No, it will not be all right. It will not be all right. You only have one hope, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Woo! Amen.
He came and he kept the law perfectly. See?
Amen.
Because God requires perfection. And many of you think, well, you know, I live a good life. It ain't good enough.
Nope.
I've had people tell me all the time, oh, I'm a good mother. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I'm a good wife. I said, are you a perfect one? Because God requires perfection. See? And that's what disqualifies us. We cannot offer that. Okay? Galatians 3:24 says the law is a tutor or a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Okay? Many of you have used the bathroom in there, right?
Yeah.
What do you see? You see a mirror in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what the law is.
Ooh.
When you look in that mirror, you see yourself. When you look into the law of God, you see the real you. That's the real you. Okay? And the real you is not pretty. The real me is not pretty. And when we stand before God, if you don't have a mediator, you're in big, big trouble. Okay? I want you to understand that God is just. Exodus 34:5-7 says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the children and the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. See, sin is a curse. And curses are generational. And the only way curses are broken is at the cross of Jesus Christ. Okay? This text tells us, though, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Okay? So he reserves mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. But I want you to understand, it's a particular people that God forgives. He doesn't just forgive anyone. See, a lot of you hear, well, Jesus died for our sins. Yeah, that's great. Now let me go right back to all the sinning I want to do. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Because Jesus said, if you love me, then obey me. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? See? Because like I said earlier, you either have mercy from God or you get justice. Okay? Hope you understand what justice is. Justice is getting what you got coming. It's getting what you actually deserve. And unless Christ is your way to God, you will go to hell. And I want you to understand that. Okay? That is not a game. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Saved from what? Saved from going to hell. But that's not just it. Saved from sin. Matthew 1:21 says, they shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not just when you die, but now.
Amen.
But now. See, a lot of people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and they live purely like the devil. Okay? You know what? The devils believe and tremble. And if you're living like that, then you don't believe in Jesus. You believe in your own twisted version of Jesus, not the biblical Jesus. Okay? Because the biblical Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live.
Okay?
He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. See, when you're born into this world, you already have wrath over your head because you were born a sinner originally and you commit sin and show that you are actually a sinner. Okay? But God shed his love on his people. That is those who believe or those who will believe. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. As I said, God is merciful. He shows his love by giving his life for those who would be his. And that while we were living a life of open rebellion, Christ rescues those who humble themselves and bow the knee and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But I want you to understand that many of you today think that you're all right with God. You're not. A lot of you who do not truly believe in Christ, you're not all right with God. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. You know, today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the acceptable time. So you must call on the Lord while you have time, while you have hope, while you have breath in your lungs, because you do not know when you're going to die. And my prayer is that you will put your hope in Christ and he will make you a new creation. See, I grew up in a really rough part of San Francisco. And you know what? I did not grow up a Christian. I grew up a Roman Catholic. I thought I knew God. I knew of God, but I didn't know God. Okay. God was not my redeemer. Okay. And the way I lived my life was very evident of that. Okay. I did a lot of evil things. And it wasn't until God sent me my wife when we were dating, when we were in school, and she shared the gospel with me and she took me to church. And the Lord opened my eyes and showed me who I really was, that I was a rebel on my way to getting retribution. Okay. And many of you in here, I'm looking in your eyes. A lot of you are rebels. Okay. I don't know which ones are. I know some of you are dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. But if you do not know Christ today, I want you to understand something, that you don't know how much time you have. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You better get right with God and settle your accounts. And the only way to do that is to come and bow the knee to Christ and understand that God is perfect and that nothing impure will ever enter into heaven. Okay. No murderers, no thieves, no adulterers. Okay, because the Bible says, as such were some of you. So when God makes you a new creature in Christ, okay, he makes you perfect because you take Christ's righteous robes and transfer your filthy robes to him, and they're applied. Justice is satisfied at the cross. Okay, that's the only hope we have. And I hope that y'all consider that today. Okay, let's pray.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your truth. I pray that the gospel of the kingdom would go forth in the hearts of these people here today. I know that many in this room and the sound of my voice are yours already, Lord. I pray that you would bring many more sons to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.